just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6. I believe we are up to Episode 38 as we look ahead to Sunday and Monday action in Week 7. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters with an additional huge thank you to Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford, who have hosted the last two Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast draft nights. And Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford annually now write the checks for $1,000 to the winner of every Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast league. That's the AFL and NFL this year. Rob Wright won the $1,000 last year. No relation, just a very aggressive, intelligent fantasy football player, a two-time league champion in the years we've been doing this. So thank you, Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford. Sean's right there in terms of first place behind Rob Wright, even though he made a deal with Rob Wright for Devontae Smith that I badmouthed. And we'll talk about Devontae Smith in this podcast, among others. My email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. If you have questions about bye weeks, your starting lineup, your bench, your roster in general, waivers, trade options, bad beats. We had three games basically decided by a yard or two, or the equivalent, in the NFL Podcast League this past week. Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford's win over the sage Ira Kaufman of JoeBucksFan.com. No, I'm sorry. That was over Joe of JoeBucksFan.com. Ira Kaufman lost by the equivalent of two passing yards in our league, 0.06, because I bump up passing yards to 10 points for every 300 yards passing. So 1 point for every 30 yards passing, up from the standard 25. As the league evolves into more of a passing league, to me, that is more of a reflection of where quarterback yardage should be throwing the ball. Ira lost to Dave Wirth, longtime anchor at Channel 10 and part of the Innisbrook Golf Operations and Todd Wright Tour Hall of Famer, by two passing yards. Two. And I lost to King Louis in a battle of first versus last. In a twisted irony that I wouldn't have any other way. The Zuerlein field goal for the Cowboys that sent the Cowboy game to overtime that they won against the Patriots gave Louis the 3 points he needed to defeat me by barely a point in week six. So they're out there. Feel free to tell me about your bad beat or hubris, your lucky win, because they go both ways. Maybe not in the span of one season, but they balance out over time the more you play fantasy football. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. If you are in the Central Florida area and you want to play in the next Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament, it's the Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament and Holiday Spectacular coming up on December 11th at West Chase Golf Club. Would love to have your twosome or foursome in this four-person team event. We are open to the public, men and women, all skill levels. And we all have a very good time. I think you will find my golf tournaments of great value, very well organized, and you are surrounded by a terrific group of people. Email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com for more details on Todd Wright Tour 33, XXXIII, the golf tournament and holiday spectacular at West Chase Golf Club. In a little over 7 weeks, I know you're saying, what are you doing talking about Christmas? Yeah, the golf tournament's in a little over 7 weeks, and it's the holiday tournament, and it'll get here fast. Instead of going game by game, just to keep you on your toes a little bit, and to switch it up. We talk a lot here on the podcast on who's doing well, right? I give you top 10s of the three key positions each week based on my 21st century standard scoring settings, quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, flex, and running back, and then top 10 for the season. Going over the leaders in fantasy football. Who's carrying you? Who's doing the best? Who should you have drafted that you didn't? This podcast, I want to look at the guys who have let you down. We're 6 weeks in the books. Now, by the time you hear this, we'll have already played the Thursday night game without Baker Mayfield and the Browns against the Broncos. I believe Jerry Jeudy also not going to go in that game. I think he played one game, and that's been about it for Denver. Some of you drafted him as a wide receiver 2/3. So whether it's injuries or otherwise, the bottom line is these players we're going to talk about did not do it for you. They were not worthy of where you drafted them. Doesn't matter the excuse. Because honestly, a significant percentage of players drafted to be QB1s, RB1s, even RB2s, in my opinion, more than last year, wide receiver 1s, wide receiver 2s, a very solid percentage have done the job. Maybe you had lofty expectations, but the more I look at preseason rankings, ADPs, look at the three leagues I commission, the AFL Podcast League, the NFL Podcast League, and my personal Foundation League, I see a lot of players who have delivered on their draft position. Now, sure, I think just about everybody has had a disappointing player from, let's just say, the first six rounds. Probably been one in there that has let you down. Well, that means five of six have come through for you. Now, maybe you would have done something a little differently, namely the four teams in the NFL Podcast League that passed on Derrick Henry, for example. They are currently, by the way, in the NFL Podcast League, in order, they're ranked 12-team league. I got to think about this. 7th, I think they go 7th, 11th, no, 7th, 12th, 11th, 3rd, because defending champion Val Pendino drafted Ezekiel Elliott, and he is RB3, granted, nowhere near the points and touches of Henry, but he is RB3. That she got the fourth pick instead of Derrick Henry. And she's a very good player. All right, so let's go position by position. Who's letting you down? Doesn't matter the reason. These are based on my scoring settings. And obviously, just keep in mind as we talk about this, we're going to do this now because only four teams have been on bye prior to week 7. So every Jets player has been without one game. Every Falcons, Saints, and 49er player been without one game. Aaron Rodgers is QB12. I sense he went probably 3rd, 4th, or 5th in most of your fantasy drafts as the quarterback ranking off the board. So QB12 isn't getting it done. Despite the Packers winning their last 5. I believe they've become, what, like the second team in the last 40 years to lose their opener by 35 or more and win the next 5 games. But Rodgers, not, I mean, he's fringe QB1 at this point. Just behind Sam Darnold, just ahead of Joe Burrow. Russell Wilson, always. The fantasy owners have a love-hate relationship with Russell Wilson. I think their expectations are very high, or Russell has some big games, and then he has a stretch of off games. But he never been injured, and he got injured this year, so that has knocked him down the board. Prior to that, he was a top 10 fantasy quarterback. But that hasn't worked out for Russell Wilson owners, and we have no idea when he is going to return. The other one that I think was commonly drafted to be a QB1, and there's going to be a theme here, is Ryan Tannehill. And Tannehill is way down the board in my settings at 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, QB20. Through six games, Tannehill, 86.2 points. And that's even with two rushing touchdowns. So that just shows you the passing game of Tennessee is not getting it done. Tannehill has just six touchdowns passing. Six. Rostered in 87% of Yahoo leagues. That's probably more than anyone, and there's no injury there to bring up a pick that, if you made it, you want back. So let's go right to the wide receiver tight end flex position, because connected with Tannehill's inability to put fantasy points on the board are two guys you drafted to either be a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two for the Titans. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are on the fourth page in my scoring settings. That means they rank between 76 and 100 at the wide receiver tight end flex. I can give you how bad the numbers actually are. For Jones, he is number 93. He is wide receiver slash tight end 93 through 6 weeks. He has only touched the ball 15 times. He has not scored a touchdown on 93% of rosters. I'm actually surprised the number's 93. Because you knew Julio Jones's injury history when you picked him. A.J. Brown, 99% of rosters, not much better. 17 receptions, just one touchdown for A.J. Brown. So Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, if you invested in that passing offense in Tennessee, you made a mistake. I'm not sure it's going to come around either. I don't think so. I didn't invest in any of them. I picked Derrick Henry number two in the Foundation League. So working our way back up from the fourth page, George Kittle, again injured. Even before he got injured, Shanahan was trying like end arounds to get him the ball. I don't know what to make of the San Francisco offense. I don't know if what Debo is doing is even sustainable. And he's wide receiver six after 6 weeks and had a bye week in there. He's been very good. But Kittle, wide receiver tight end flex number 100. Many of you drafted him as the second or third tight end off the board, behind probably Kelce and Waller. Other names that you invested of Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson can't even make Dalton and Fields look good through 6 weeks of the season. He's caught just 21 balls for one touchdown on 92% of rosters. You drafted him to be a wide receiver two, maybe a wide receiver three. Devontae Parker did not pick up where he left off. Remember, he was smoking hot near the end of last regular season. Just 17 catches for a touchdown. He's been battling injury. Zach Ertz gets a new life in Arizona. Now, it's been a couple years since Zach Ertz was one of the top tight ends in fantasy football. Only 18 receptions for 189 and two touchdowns with the Eagles. Now with Arizona, I claimed him. I'm interested to see what he's going to do in an offense that spreads it around. So I am investing in Ertz. Granted, I invested a waiver claim in him in a roster spot. We'll see how long that lasts. Robbie Anderson's been a disappointment. Only two touchdowns. T. Higgins. He's been knocked down the board significantly because of Jamar Chase. Just not enough to go around in Cincinnati. 18 receptions, 194 yards, two touchdowns for T. Higgins on the season. I'll do the 25 before these guys. So this next list is numbers 51 through 75. and see what names are. There's Kyle Pitts. If you overdrafted Kyle Pitts, just one touchdown and 24 grabs through five games. Granted, it's knocked down a little bit because of the bye week. There's Tyler Boyd, similar situation to T. Higgins. And I know there was one more on here. Oh, yeah, Calvin Ridley. I believe he was wide receiver 4 in my scoring settings last year. I wasn't touching him with the coaching change in Atlanta, with Julio Jones gone. Say what you will about Ridley putting up numbers when Jones wasn't even playing last year. I'm just real big on it's difficult to make the step up from wide receiver 2 to wide receiver 1 within your own team, and Ridley hadn't been able to do it. Missed a game for personal reasons. I don't know what's going on. I just know if you drafted Ridley, you probably wish you hadn't. 27 catches, 255 yards, and a touchdown. I show him as wide receiver, tight end, flex, number 75. And I just know one more I'm going to bring up. Those, especially in, well, if you drafted Darren Waller pretty early, whether you were in a tight end mandatory league, an outdated one, or as I suggest, the wide receiver tight end flex. Waller had a huge game the opening week and hasn't done very much since. Two touchdowns, 33 grabs. He's at 49.8 points, so he's averaging under double digits per week. And most of you drafted him as tight end 2. We'll leave it there for the wide receivers slash tight ends. We'll go to the running backs. I don't want to make this podcast too long. So, first page of running backs goes from Derrick Henry at 154.1 all the way down to Josh Jacobs at 48.6. So that's 100+ point difference there. So I guess even though Josh Jacobs is on page 1, we have to call him a disappointment. He's looked hurt from the opening game, and now you're just not really sure, even though we have one game of sample size post-Gruden. And I like Josh Jacobs, but under double digits per Raider game, knowing he's missed a game or two, hasn't been able to play through his injuries like he did the first year and a half of his career. Let's see. David Montgomery got hurt, for those of you who drafted him pretty high, probably in the first two rounds. Montgomery looked really strong on runs in that opening game against the Rams, but part of that bad Bears offense, now on IR, I show him as RB21, and it's only going to drop further until he comes back. And if Khalil Herbert keeps doing what he's doing, it's going to cut into Montgomery's time, or they're going to be more patient with Montgomery to bring him back. So, yeah, that's all I got to say about Montgomery. Dalvin Cook has missed games, but you don't give up on him. You don't. On a bye this week, I think he's missed 2 games, RB20. But if I'm right and he's missed 2 games, then in 3 games he's had 53.9 points. So that's, what, about 17 to 18 points a game? You'll take that. That'll balance out. Antonio Gibson, this is trending in the wrong direction. For those of you that spent a high pick on Antonio Gibson to make him probably your RB2, Gibson's got a bad shin. And he's trying to play through it, and it just doesn't feel like it's going to work. Gibson, 67.6 points through the first 6 weeks, just 357 yards rushing, 119 receiving. He's not going to get those receiving opportunities now. Those are going to go to McKissick if they can keep Gibson on the field for the early downs. So he's touched the ball 101 times, gotten in the end zone 3 times, but Gibson has not been worth where you picked him. Let me go to next 25. So, and obviously Saquon Barkley, but you guys kind of knew what you were getting into there. When I love the reaction of people that were like, wow, I got Saquon Barkley in the second round. And yeah, there's a reason for that. Just based on how he hasn't been able to stay on the field the last couple of years. And the Giants offense is really bad. So let's see. I'm on page two from RB 26 through 50. Let me see if I – Clyde Edwards-Helaire, those of you that invested in him as an RB2, I show him at RB 30. He's had two really good games. That's it. And then he got hurt, and prior to those two games, he had some bad fumbles. So when he comes off IR, if the Chiefs don't trade for Marlon Mack or Ronald Jones, it'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs do with Edwards-Helaire. I just don't think he was worth a first-round draft pick. He can't get the tough yards. I don't know that the Chiefs can trust him. Myles Gaskin, huge disappointment. Really only had one game all year, and that was in garbage time against the Bucs, and then in London he barely played. Myles Gaskin was probably someone you drafted to be a flex. Probably not an RB2, but a flex-type player. Only 43.2 points in my scoring settings this season. Has only touched the ball 63 times in six games. And barely 300 yards. Two touchdowns receiving. Christian McCaffrey goes without saying. It's a shame. For those of you that drafted McCaffrey 1, and you could have had Derrick Henry. Also, it's going to start now. There's no way Derrick Henry isn't going number one in next year's fantasy draft unless Henry gets hurt. No way. No way. Now, you could look back and argue Henry should have been going number one the last three fantasy drafts, at least the last two. But you aren't going to find anyone who's going to pass on Henry in their right mind unless something unfortunate happens to Henry or he holds out for huge money in the offseason. He just seems like he's so invested. Great guy. Again, I've called him, I said he's an alien because you don't see running backs like that anymore. He came out after the game, signed more autographs. I loved his interview with Lisa Salters. Again, I've been a big Derrick Henry fan all along. The Titans didn't use him the first 2 years of his career. Now, that's good for now, but imagine how they feel, those fired coaches, what they could have had. They were still giving the ball to DeMarco Murray. Chris Carson, you knew what you were getting into there with his injury status, inability to produce consistently. I know there were those, and even I took a flyer on A.J. Dillon. He is getting more of the early down work. Aaron Jones owners are a little worried, but in the end, I don't think A.J. Dillon is going to do enough to be a regular fantasy starter. I mean, he's gotten 58 touches through 6 weeks, and it is increasing. He's gotten in the end zone once on a reception. I don't know. I don't know what the Packers' plan is for him. Nice guy to have if Jones goes down. You Jones owners are like, yeah, A.J. Dillon possessions annoy me. But Aaron Jones is still very productive. And that about does it. Yeah, let me see if I can find one more in the 51 through 75 that someone may have invested. I'll fall on the sword here a little bit. I drafted Sony Michel thinking by now he'd be the starting running back of the Rams. I was flat out wrong. Now, could I use him now that Kareem Hunt went down? Absolutely. But I have done other things, the running back position on waivers and via trades. So I haven't counted on Sony Michel. But yeah, I expected he would be the starting running back, that Henderson wouldn't be as good as he is now and stay as healthy as he has. Michelle had one good game where he was featured in the Rams win against the Bucs, but he's a garbage time back to kill the clock, to rest Henderson when the Rams have a big lead. Otherwise, Henderson is playing. I don't know of any game script where that will change, unless Henderson starts fumbling the ball or missing blocking assignments. All right, Todd Wright, Fantasy Football at Gmail. Oh, Ronald Jones, especially those of you in Tampa, may have invested a draft pick in Ronald Jones thinking you would get an RB2 or a flex play out of him. Nope, not even close. He has only touched the ball 36 times. One touchdown. That was the Patriots game, right? He has a total of 19.1 points in my scoring settings. 19.1 points. We're going into week 7. So Ronald Jones is averaging just over 3 fantasy points per game. It's another reason why I traded for Leonard Fournette this week. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, with a huge thank you to Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. He writes the checks for each podcast league winner at the end of the season. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.